Today we're going to discuss the beginning of Jewish power in Muslim Spain. So from the days of Rav, Abba Richa, in the 3rd century until Rav Sadia Gaon in the 10th century, the Jews were guided by the thought and spiritual vigor of the Jews of Babel, and the primary literature during this time, these probably 800 or so years, was Talmud and responsa literature, and the primary cities and yeshivos were Sura and Pumbedisa. However, from the time of Sadia Gaon's death in the 10th century, there was a progressive loosening of the bonds that tied the Jews of the West to those of Babel in the East. The last two major spiritual figures of Babylonian leadership were Rav Shira Gaon of Pumbedisa and his son Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon died in 1038, only 2 years before Rashi was born. Some of the accomplishments of Babylonian Jewry were the literary heritage, as mentioned, the Talmud, and there was also Midrash, some poetry, liturgy, and some philosophy. The idea that knowledge is supreme, that an ignorant person cannot be a pious person, was something that Babylonian Jewry stood for. Leadership must rest in the hands of the scholar, and study of Torah is among the highest of ideals. There is an emphasis on conduct and character, that merely thinking about God is insufficient. We must act in the ways of godliness. And the unity of Klal Yisrael was not based on territory, not based on a shared political center, because the Beis Hamikdash was already destroyed by this time. Rather, the unity of Klal Yisrael was based on a common devotion to one God and to the laws and ideals developed throughout Jewish history. The idea also of community life, that every Jew, rich or poor, was a member of the community and has rights and had rights as being a member of the community, was something that Babylonian Jewry stood for. And there was a vision of the future, an ideal of a future world which inspired hope, the days of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, and all that that entailed. And there was a certain strength of Jewish survival that was found among Babylonian Jewry after many, many years of many difficulties. Now, in 711, the Muslims conquered Spain with an army of 300 Arabs and about 6,700 Moors or native Africans, and the Jews were relieved because after a dreadful century of physical and religious slavery under the last Visigothic rulers, who were a Germanic tribe, and they were Christians, and they were not so good to the Jews. Now, the Muslims did make an effort to convert the population, but there were no persecutions, and the mild political rule of the new masters attracted Jewish immigrants from faraway lands. Since the Arabs were a minority, they needed the services of loyal citizens to help them rule the country. Therefore, many Jews entered the service of the government. There were economic opportunities for Jews in Muslim Spain. In the year 755, Jews were allowed to work in all occupations, and before long, Spain became the wealthiest and most cultured land in Europe. The Spanish leaders encouraged non-Muslims to engage in culture. Therefore, there was much cooperation between Jews and Muslims in scientific and philosophical studies and in education. There were two great political leaders during the Golden Age of Spain from 900 to 1200. Chasta ibn Shaprut. He was born in Cordova. He studied Hebrew, Arabic, and Latin, and he was one of the few Jews able to have discourses with the clergy and read works of the church because of his knowledge of Latin. He started his career as a physician, and in 940 he became the court physician to the caliph, and he also became the unofficial advisor to the caliph on state matters, and soon he bore responsibility for finances and foreign affairs. He gained the reputation of being an excellent diplomat, and one of the changes that he effectuated was shifting the spiritual center of Judaism. Because Jews used to look to the Gaonim of Sura and Pumbedisa for guidance, but Chasta ibn Shaprut, who was the recognized head of the Jewish community in Cordova, supported the establishment of yeshivos in Spain. He invited scholars from other countries to head them and teach in them, and then he encouraged the Jews of Spain to look to their own scholars for guidance, men such as Rav Moshe ben Chanoch, who was the foremost Spanish scholar of the time. Rav Moshe ben Chanoch came from the Babylonian yeshivos, and he established a great Talmudic academy in Cordova. Chasta ibn Shaprut brought to Cordova Jewish scholars, philosophers, poets, and scientists, and made it the leading Jewish center of the world. Another leading political Jewish figure during the Golden Age of Spain who brought over Jewish scholars and brought much Torah and Torah study to Spain was an individual by the name of Shmuel ibn Nagrela, or Shmuel HaNagid. He lived from 993 to 1056. And in fact, his story is told in a work called Sefer HaKabbalah, a Jewish historical work written by Ibn Daud, who lived in the 12th century. And he writes that one of the great disciples of Rabbi Enoch was Rav Shmuel HaLevi, the prince, the son of Joseph, who was known as Ibn Nagrela of the community of Cordova. He was an unusually fine Talmudic scholar and was also well-versed in Arabic language, literature and language. He was of the type that could occupy a high position in the royal palace. And this passage goes on to say that Shmuel was a merchant, supporting himself with great difficulty until the devastating days in Spain, which followed the fall of the Amorite kingdom when the Berbers secured the power. So there was a civil war in 1013. In fact, a series of civil wars erupted in Muslim Spain. So Shmuel ibn Nagrela moved from Cordova to Malaga, a city in Granada in southern Spain. And this passage states that he had a shop and was a petty merchant. He owned a makolet. And his shop happened to be near the palace of Ibn al-Arif, the vizier of King Habas, the son of Maksan, the king of the Berbers in Granada. At the request of a maidservant of the vizier, Samuel used to write letters for her to her master, the vizier Abu al-Qasim ibn al-Arif. The latter saw his letters and was amazed at his wisdom. So basically, the illiterate servants of the palace came to him to read their letters and write their replies. And as this passage points out, a letter written by Shmuel ibn Nagrela fell into the hands of the grand vizier, who was astonished at its beautiful handwriting and its fine style. And then the vizier invited Shmuel to be a secretary, and in this position, Shmuel unofficially advised the vizier as well. And this passage goes on to say that after some time, the vizier became mortally ill, and King Habas, who came to visit him, said to him, "What shall I do? Who will advise me in the wars which encompass me?" Right? The king wanted to know who's going to be his advisor. And then the vizier said, "I have never advised you out of my own mind, but at the suggestion of this Jew, my secretary. Take care of him, and he will be as a father and a minister to you. Do whatever he advises you, and God will help you." So after the death of the vizier, King Habas took Rabbi Shmuel HaLevi and brought him to his palace, and he became his vizier and counselor. So again, the vizier dies. Shmuel becomes the vizier of Granada, and his duties placed him on several occasions as the head of Granada's armies. And eventually, he is appointed as the Nagid, or the leader of the Jews, and he was given approximately the same authority that the Rosh Gola exercised in Bavel. Like Chasta ibn Shaprut, Shmuel encouraged scholars and poets, and he himself was an excellent poet. In this passage that I've been reading, it states the following, that all the students who lived in the land, those lands referring to Israel, Spain, northeastern and north central Africa, Egypt, Sicily, and Yerushalayim, all the students who lived in these lands benefited by Shmuel HaNagid's generosity, for he bought numerous copies of the Holy Scriptures, the Mishnah, the Talmud, these two being holy writings. To everyone in all the land of Spain and in all the lands that we have mentioned who wanted to make the study of the Torah his profession, he would give of his money. He had scribes who used to copy Mishnahs and Talmuds, and he would give them as a gift to students in the academies of Spain or in the lands we have mentioned who were not able to buy them with their own means. So we see that Shmuel Nagid is providing funding for Sfarim, and so he's supporting scribes to write these Sfarim. And the passage continues, besides this, he furnished olive oil every year for the lamps of the synagogues in Jerusalem. He spread the knowledge of the Torah very widely and died an old man at a ripe age. after having acquired the four crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of high station, the crown of Levitical descent, and was more than all these, the crown of a good name merited by good deeds. So it was people like Chasda ibn Shaprut and Shmuel Nagrela who were instrumental in bringing top rabbinic and cultural leaders to Spain. Great Spanish leaders like Rav Moshe ben Chanoch and many great Jewish cultural leaders lived during the Golden Age of Spain from 900 to 1200, like Rav Yehuda Levi, Shlomo ibn Gabirol, the Ibn Ezra, the Rambam for some time, Bach ibn Pakuda, ibn Daud. Again, it was started by tremendous balabatim, political leaders like Chasda ibn Shaprut and Shmuel ibn Nagrela. Unfortunately, after Shmuel ibn Nagrela died, it's clear in 1055 or maybe 1056, he had a son named Joseph. And in Ibn Daud Sefer Kabbalah, he writes, of all the good traits of his father, Joseph lacked but one. He was not humble like his father because he grew up in riches and he never had to bear the yoke of poverty and discipline in his youth. He was proud to his hurt, and the Berber princes were jealous of him, with the result that on the Sabbath, on the 9th of Tevet, in the year 4827, which is 1066, he and the community of Granada were murdered. Essentially, about 150 families were killed in anti-Jewish riots in 1066. Fortunately, these riots were over quickly and left no bad effects upon the Jews of Granada or the rest of the Muslim lands. But it was a warning that a mob is easily stirred, that the majority of a population never remembers what Shmuel did for them, and that one Jew may bring misfortune upon his entire group. But again, at this point in time, this was the exception as opposed to the rule. And from the year 900 to 1200, indeed, Spain did celebrate a golden age. And it was good not only for the Muslims, but also good for the Jews.